Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. We unpack the raid on Trump's home from another angle. We have John Solomon with the latest news and information around that. We talk about how maybe Donald Trump had goods on the FBI. Just speculation, but worthy of considering. As always, you can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter or a college chapter today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Welcome, everybody. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. I'm getting lots of emails from you, freedom@charliekirk.com. We got one email here I want to focus on. Chris, Charlie, I was on the fence about Donald Trump running in 2024. I was tired of all the media turmoil. However, after this raid, I'm more emboldened than ever to support Trump in 2024. Chris in Texas. Remember, on June 8th, and believe it or not, we did the podcast, which is Welcome to the Final Phase. We might repost parts of it. It's very important, where I talk about how the left's name-calling strategy against us has weakened significantly, where they're able to control us through the paralysis of name-calling, that all they have left is brute force. We did that podcast on June 7th. On June 8th, Joe Biden, remember, joked about sending his political opponents to jail. Play cut 30.
I understand that argument, but also it's like you're playing Monopoly with somebody who, you know, won't pass go and won't follow any of the rules. And how do you ever make any progress if they're not following the rules?
Well, you've got to send them to jail, There's that little box in
there. Directly to jail?
Go directly to jail.
Yeah, send him to jail. Everyone applauds. Make no mistake, there's reports that show White House staffers, Joe Biden White House staffers, erupted in applause when they heard that Donald Trump's home was raided. They want us in jail. They hate you so badly. They hate me. They hate you. They hate Trump. They want people in leg irons, handcuffs, floggings. That is what they want. They dream of it. They fantasize of it. It's Joe Biden right there talking about, well, you got to send him to jail. They don't want to have to do elections. That's messy business. No, no. They would rather have brute force. Now, to give you an idea, I have not heard this tape yet. I've only seen a description. So we'll be able to judge together. This is Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina on his response to President Trump's home being raided. I've not heard this tape yet. But I want your thoughts on whether you think Republican leadership is adequately fired up with the fact that Donald Trump's home was raided by, as Newt Gingrich calls it, not me, the Stasi. That's not Alex Jones, who, by the way, will be joining our program. It's Newt Gingrich who calls them the Stasi. This is your Republican establishment. Are you happy with this? Play cut 40.
Do you think the FBI, do you still believe and trust in the FBI to do its job, even with a former president, in a nonpartisan way? Or do you believe, as the former president says, that the FBI is executing a witch hunt?
Well, we've had the FBI before the Judiciary Committee just in the last 2 weeks trying to figure out why they do what they do. And there's been lots of questions before this raid about whether or not the FBI is doing their job apolitical. And we don't know the answer to that question yet. This
is probably doubts about the FBI.
This is going to raise more questions, in my opinion. We need to let this play out and see exactly what happens.
That's your Republican establishment. Look, we don't know if they're being political or not. Let this play out. What do you feel about that? Freedom@charliekirk.com. Senator Tim Scott, look, we got to see the other side of the story here, right? I mean, come on. We got to Andrew Cuomo has a more forceful response. Andrew Cuomo comes out and says the following. The DOJ must immediately explain the reason for its raid, and it must be more than a search for inconsequential archives, or it will be viewed as a political tactic and undermine any future credible investigation and legitimacy for January 6th investigation. Now, why is Andrew Cuomo saying that? Because Cuomo's afraid, long-term, the fascist police state that he wants to run, it's being implemented too quickly. Cuomo says, well, hold on, guys. I understand that all we care about is political power. Slow down. Cuomo is worried about the equal and opposite reaction. Cuomo, similar to Bill Clinton, has good political instincts, even though Cuomo's killed thousands of old people, old folks, by putting them in nursing homes. So Tim Scott, Connor emailed me, Tim Squishy. Tim Scott, same guy who came out and said we must find common ground about Biden's first speech in joint Congress, now comes out and says, well, look, we have to hear the other side. Is that how you feel? Let's have Mike Davis join us from the Article 3 Project. Mike, I saw you on War Room this morning. I wanted to have you on. Thank you for joining this program. It's most fired up I've heard you in a while, I think rightfully so. Mike, you said something interesting I want to zero in on. You said that they are declassified documents as long as Donald Trump left the White House with them while he was president. Can you please elaborate on that?
So, yes, the president of the United States has inherent constitutional authority as commander in chief to classify or declassify any record he wants. So this idea, this theory, this political nonsense that President Trump took classified records with him in these 15 boxes and therefore he committed a crime is just nonsense. That when President Trump, first of all, he didn't pack up his own boxes and leave. Every president leaves the White House and the staff packs up boxes. When they leave, they take the boxes with them to their homes. They have the office of the former president. The office of the former president has staff. They have office space. They have secure facilities for classified records called SCIFs. Former presidents and their staffs have security clearances. Not only is it not, as a matter of law, these are not classified records, even if they are classified records, there's no evidence, there's no allegation that these records with Trump would have gotten into the wrong hands because of all these safeguards we have for former presidents. This is a political witch hunt by the Biden Justice Department, by Attorney General Merrick Garland and his lackey, FBI Director Chris Wray.
It's unbelievable.
And there needs to be serious political consequences.
So sorry to cut you off, Mike. Let me ask you, though, really quick. What do you think is the calculus right now of the Federal Bureau of Investigation? I think they're evil, but I don't think they're dumb. What were they thinking by doing this? What did they hope to achieve? Is this really a National Archive dispute? Is this an act of desperation? What's your speculation here?
Well, you know, President Trump left office 18 months ago. So what's the urgency right now? And it seems like the urgency is they know that President Trump is going to run again. They know he's going to win the primary and they know he's going to win the White House again. And I think they're panicking and they think this is a Hail Mary. They think I've seen Mark Elias, the top Democrat election lawyer, putting out this theory that under the statute, if someone misuses presidential records, they're just qualified from office. It's just complete nonsense that they're pushing this theory. The Constitution clearly spells out how the president is picked, how he's elected, what his qualifications are. And they're just grasping at straws here. They're desperate. They see President Biden in free fall. And who do they have? Who do they have next?
And that's where I speculated a little bit. I think. And so let me just really quick, 1 minute remaining. What's your thought on the idea that maybe they did this to show that they're not political because of a looming Hunter Biden indictment? Do you think there might be some calculus between the DOJ in that sense?
I don't think they're going to do anything with Hunter Biden.
Oh, wow.
I think President Biden's going to pardon him.
That's quick and straight to the point. Article 3 Project is amazing. Mike, thank you for your commentary, as always. Phenomenal. And it's a dark day in America. And you as a constitutionalist, I know, totally agree. We can't put up with this. It's just that simple. This is we've said this throughout the entire show, and Speaker Gingrich agreed. The Rubicon has been crossed. What side are you on? Choose your side. There is no middle anymore. Article 3 Project, Mike Davis, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Now, there is another wrinkle to this that we must think about. What if the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago to get the documents that Donald Trump had on them? What if the FBI, of course, they did it under a National Archive thing. What if some of these boxes included heinous activity by the Federal Bureau of Investigation that they wanted to get back? Pure speculation. But look, if you trust the FBI at this point, you might as well go be an establishment Republican, because they're the only ones left that actually trust the FBI. Your Republican Party is out there defending the FBI, as Senator Tim Scott just did. I mean, I'll just be honest. I had to rewatch the tape in the break. It's just shocking. Cut 42, Jonathan Turley last night said that Presidential Records Act has never been a criminal matter, but it makes you think, what might justify the fact that they go after these records? Maybe Donald Trump had declassified documents there that they think are classified that might actually blow the top off the Federal Bureau of Investigation. What if Trump had documents that they were really afraid that were going to see the light of day? Play cut 42.
The problem with the PRA, or the Presidential Records Act, being the basis of this type of action is that it has not been traditionally a criminal matter. Certainly, it has not been that way for former presidents.
It's never a criminal matter. Now, cut 39, as we mentioned, the judge who signed the warrant represented associates of Jeffrey Epstein. The cartel always protects their own. Are there documents in there Donald Trump had about the FBI's covering up of the Jeffrey Epstein case? What are in those 15 boxes? It makes you think, doesn't it, that the FBI had to go to such unprecedented levels with the FBI trying to preserve themselves? Wilder things have happened. If you would have told me 10 years ago that former presidents and members of the royal family were flying on private jets with underage women to private islands, of which was probably an intelligence operation by a foreign government to get blackmail on them, I'd say you were a conspiracy theorist. Now that's just an agreed upon fact that no one talks about. I'm an open mind. And you should be too. Play cut 39.
And this morning, the New York Post is now reporting that the federal magistrate here in Florida, who approved this search warrant after he left working for the U.S. Attorney's Office back in 2008, he then went into private practice and represents several associates of the disgraced financier and accused serial pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein.
Connected to a serial pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein. That's the judge that signs off on the warrant. So the precedent is that you can have the FBI show up at your home at any time when a corrupt judge signs off on it. What is the motivation behind such a raid? Who's actually looking out for who? Well, MSNBC says that this is the Justice Department is returning to its historical position as a law enforcement agency above politics. Play cut 32.
And as a lawyer, I mean, the reason I show up on these shows is because I believe so much in the rule of law. And what it signifies to me, the news yesterday, is the Justice Department is returning to its historical position as a law enforcement agency above politics, trying to do the right thing and enforce the laws when they're violated.
It's so Orwellian. Yeah, you know, we're above politics because we just go after political figures. Hunter Biden, Hillary Clinton, James Comey, Peter Strzok, stroke smirk. Yeah, by the way, has Peter Strzok's house ever been raided by the FBI? How about Lisa Page? How about Andrew McCabe? How about Bruce and Nellie Orr? Their house ever been raided by the FBI? How about Epstein's client list? Oh, we don't talk about that. No. If you happen to keep papers that otherwise might have been considered classified or declassified, and literally, this is what's so hilarious about this, it's literally a paperwork dispute. It's like, we always joke around like, oh, you know, they're paper pushers. You know, what's interesting is bureaucrat in the French literally means desk worker or the desk people. This is literally a paper dispute. But is it? Is it possible Donald Trump had the goods on the FBI? And they had to say, and they were saying, wait a second, we have information to believe that Donald Trump might be able to expose us. It's just conjecture. It's speculation. There's no coming back. You might not like it. You might want a restoration of the America you grew up in. I'm sorry to say that America no longer exists. You can want it to exist. You can get it back. This is no joke. So look, I recently received a question from one of our amazing listeners. By the way, we have the best audience in the world. Love you guys. Thank you. He wanted to know if it was possible to avoid digestion problems by eating only healthy organic food. It's a nice thought, but unfortunately it's not possible. You see, your natural ability to digest food declines with age. This is because your body produces fewer enzymes, which are the proteins responsible for digesting food. Fewer enzymes means more difficulty digesting food. Even organic foods won't provide enough enzymes to properly digest them. This is especially true if you cook your food, because cooking kills enzymes. This is why you might have digestive problems even after a wonderfully healthy meal. Your body just can't produce enough enzymes to get the job done. That is why supplementing with a high-quality enzyme supplement could be a massive help. I personally recommend Masszymes by Bioptimizers. It's a best-in-class supplement loaded with full-spectrum enzymes for digesting proteins, starches, sugars, fibers, and fats. When I started to take digestive enzymes, made everything a little bit easier, if you know what I mean. Taking Masszymes daily helps top off your enzyme levels and replace the enzymes your body is no longer producing, which means you'll be able to eat all sorts of delicious food and digest them quickly and effortlessly. After you start taking Masszymes, you may notice that you no longer feel bloated after meals and your belly feels flatter. And if you have a leaky gut, Masszymes can reduce gut inflammation or irritation and help you absorb more nutrients. Listen, life is too short to suffer from digestive problems. If you want freedom from your food and digestive health and comfort, try Masszymes, risk-free, and experience for yourself the magic of high-quality enzymes. For an exclusive offer for my listeners, just go to masszymes.com/Kirk, MASSZYMES.com/Kirk. They're a wonderful company. Check it out. Masszymes.com/Kirk. That is masszymes.com/Kirk. Michael Anton wrote the following recently. The regime can't allow Trump to be president, not because of who he is, but because of who his followers are. That class, as Angelo Codovia wrote, is the country class. They must not be allowed representation by candidates who might implement their preferences, which also, and above all, must not be allowed. The rubes have no legitimate standing to affect the outcome of any political process because of who they are, but mostly because of what they want. Complaints about the nature of Trump are just proxies for objections to the nature of his base. I actually spent a week with Michael Anton last week at the Claremont Institute. I want to just read that again. Complaints about the nature of Trump are just proxies for objections to the nature of his base. We warned about this on our program. We called this, we were entering the final phase. We did that on June 7th. I know we have a short clip that details that. I'm trying to see what clip that is, and then we'll get to John Solomon in just a second here. Please, yeah, play cut 21, is that right? Okay, play cut 21. They are now realizing, wait a second, we can't destroy careers like we used to. Conservatives won't fire their own. Our ability to be able to control them is weakening. And so they are recalibrating their attacks and their strategy as we enter this final phase. Remember, they were able to infiltrate society for 40 years and we ignored them. Then we woke up and we started to talk about it, and then they professionalized the name-calling operation. But this final phase, we said, you can call us whatever you want. We're going to build new stuff and run better candidates, make better arguments, expose your treachery, shine a light on your deceit. What are you going to do about it? And the answer is this. This is what they're going to do about it. All they have left is brute force. They now know that the name-calling thing is not going to get them anywhere. And so now they are going to rely on pure deplatforming, banning, and yes, criminal and civil force. That was June 7th. We laid it all out. That's where we are. We knew it was going to happen. We just didn't think it was going to happen so quickly. Joining us now is John Solomon from Just the News. John, welcome to this welcome back to the program. Hard to kind of comprehend all of this abuse of power. You've been in this space for quite a while. Have you ever seen anything like this?
Now, listen, we've never had a former or sitting president raided by the FBI, and he was raided when he wasn't even at his home, which raises the question, what was the purpose of the raid? Because normally you do a search warrant, you do an urgent raid when you think there's a danger of evidence or documents being destroyed or hampered or hindered. The president was in New York, and he had been in Bedminster before that. There are lots of questions among defense lawyers, legal experts, former and current FBI agents wondering what went on yesterday. And the fact of the matter is we don't have enough facts yet. I assume that the president will go to court and do a show cause and get the judge to segregate these documents and protect them for claims of privilege and other things. But it's we passed a threshold last night we've never passed in American politics, American history before. And the consequences, we won't know for sure for some time. But if you look at what Democrats are saying, people like Mark Elias, they're talking about using this event as a nullification to keep President Trump from running again. So at least we know the Democrats who are often behind these things, what their motivation is. They are saying it overtly today. They want to keep Donald Trump from being eligible to run against them in 2024. I think that speaks volumes to what we think may be going on behind the scenes.
So, John, you've covered the FBI for many years now. You were on the front edge of the Russiagate situation. I believe the FBI is evil and they can be sloppy at times, but I don't consider them to be dumb. What on earth is the calculation here? This seems to be so desperate, so reckless, so misguided. What is their calculation here?
Well, we don't know, right? We know that they are investigating a crime that usually is a low-level crime in the justice manual, so not the sort of thing you normally raid people over. We know they're following a procedure that they didn't follow for people like Hillary Clinton. Let's think about this. 7 years ago this summer, this month, in fact, is when Hillary Clinton's classified emails were discovered. In that case, they didn't raid Hillary Clinton's Chappaqua home. I wrote the story for Washington Times. They allowed David Kendall, Mrs. Clinton's lawyer, to take the classified information, put it on a thumb drive, put it on a safe that the FBI helped arrange for David Kendall. She got kid glove treatment. The former president of the United States did not get the same treatment. So you see disparate treatment. That's something that always raises a red flag. Now let's go to the third factor. The office of the FBI that was involved in this raid yesterday is called the Washington Field Office. It's the one that investigates crimes from federal agencies in Washington. The National Archives is the complainant here that there are some classified documents apparently that the president took with him accidentally to Mar-a-Lago. This is the very office that 1 week before this raid, the Monday before last, Chuck Grassley revealed there were five or multiple whistleblowers saying that this office was infected with political bias, that there was political meddling going on, including opening a case against Donald Trump, not this case, but a different case, without the proper predicate, trying to thwart an investigation of Hunter Biden by portraying legitimate evidence as disinformation. And the allegations were so serious that the assistant special agent in charge had to be removed from the office. A week after that, while we're still trying to come to grips with the possibility that a major FBI office had political bias, that office goes out and hits one of the targets that the whistleblowers were complaining about. Those are the three things factually, as a reporter, we do know. Now we got to fill in the blanks about what motivated the FBI. Our first chance will be either when the president files something in court doing a show cause, or if the search warrant returns get released by the court, as they often are after a raid like this.
Yeah, some people are saying, though, that this was more local and regional and not the FBI senior leadership. I find that impossible to believe, right, John? There is no way Merrick Garland did not personally sign off on this. Is that correct?
Yeah, listen, the Attorney General guideline, this is a politically sensitive figure, right? And you're 3 months out from an election. This almost certainly will have gone to the Justice Department. And by the way, last night sources told me that Maine Justice approved this raid. So, yes, a local judge in Florida issued the subpoena, as I understand it. But the Washington Field Office in Washington, in communication and with the blessing of the Maine Justice Department, appears to have authorized this activity. But we'll find out more over the next few days. Listen, there's a lot of facts not in evidence yet, but a lot of aberrations from normal policy, certainly from the way Hillary Clinton was treated. Let's find out what the FBI used as its excuse, and I think we'll be able to make a better judgment at that point.
It's such an extraordinary, unprecedented kind of leap here. Some people say now Donald Trump should declare for president because that will keep him less likely from being indicted. Is there any truth to that?
No, listen, first off, we're more than 2 years away from the presidential election, so the U.S. Attorney's Manual doesn't apply yet, right? Normally it applies to actions 90 days from an election in which the person is running. And in this case, the president won't be running in the midterm elections. So no, I don't think so. All it does is runs his meter earlier, meaning he's got to start spending 2024 campaign funds now if he's a declared candidate. The right thing to do is for all of us to get the facts, right? For the president to go into court saying, what happened here? I have executive privilege, a lot of things here, and begin the litigation process. That's how Russia collusion unraveled. And I believe that that's how this story will unfold and potentially unravel. But, you know, we've crossed a Rubicon we haven't done before. This is a very extraordinary moment in history. And how the next few weeks play out, I think, will speak volumes to whether this was a political action or some legitimate legal action for which we don't know the whole story about yet. Right now, I'm leaning towards politics based on the reporting I've done today.
It's just, it's such an extraordinary intervention and the amount of force that was used. And so I want to play a piece of tape here really quick, John, for you. Is that the Six Ways to Sunday one? Okay. Let's just remind our audience. Remember Chuck Schumer on Rachel Maddow's program said, you mess with the intelligence agencies, they can get back at you Six Ways to Sunday. Play cut 46.
But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep, this taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them.
It's just chilling. John, your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, listen, look at the smile and smirk on his face when he's saying it. It says
exactly
it all.
Exactly right.
Democrats have tried to weaponize the law enforcement community, the FBI, since the summer of 2016 to go after Donald Trump. So much so that whistleblowers have come forward. The one thing I saw over the last 6 years that was the most chilling document in my hand is the testimony of Agent William Barnett, the FBI agent who was involved in the Michael Flynn portion of the investigation. And he kept talking about watching his supervisors concoct a case when there was no evidence of any wrongdoing. He said it was like a bad game of Clue. They put two people in a room and said, that's a conspiracy, when there was no evidence of a conspiracy. You take that with his boss's handwritten notes, the former counterintelligence chief for the FBI, Bill Priestap, who wrote during the height of the Flynn investigation, when the career agent said, the law says we must shut this investigation down, the seventh floor of the FBI, Comey and McCabe, said it must go forward. And he writes on his letter, Bill Priestap writes, what is our motive here? Are we trying to get the truth, or are we just trying to get somebody fired, indicted for political gain? For an FBI agent to write that in his notes tells you how much weaponization of the FBI was going on from Democrats, people like Sussman, people like Christopher Steele, the Hillary Clinton campaign. And it probably explains the smirk that Chuck Schumer has in that that little segment that you just showed.
John, what frustrates me is none of those people ever were properly held accountable. Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and Durham is doing whatever Durham is doing. I'm not optimistic. But if the FBI is never held accountable, why wouldn't they go raid Donald Trump? They don't care. It's not like anyone actually ever goes to jail around there. It's just really, really extraordinary. John Solomon from Just the News. John, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Charlie. Thanks a lot.
Great job as always. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to share with you an Orwell quote. One of our listeners also emailed us. All tyrannies rule through fraud and force. But once the fraud is exposed, they must rely exclusively on force. George Orwell. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Ironman thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the 3-week quick start too, discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. We're getting lots of emails. Charlie, I agree with you. It's time to shut the evildoers down. President Trump has to be Speaker of the House in January because they'll never allow him to run and win. We need him now. He needs to slip into the Speaker's position, get rid of Biden and Harris, and he's in. No running a campaign, no getting cheated at the ballot box. Not a bad idea. I've said that for a while. Trump as Speaker is a very interesting idea. Dennis says, it just amazes me what the Democrats are getting away with, such corruption in the evidence that the FBI, CIA, and Secret Service, plus the high tech, all being weaponized. We the people perceive stronger than ever. Can this evil be stopped? Does the righteousness in both parties come together to fight this wicked virus? There's not much righteousness left, unfortunately. Stacy says, I'm shocked at the illegal raid and abuse of power. I can honestly say I wasn't excited about Trump in 2024, but I can't stick my head in the sand. We have a fighter who is unafraid to take on the opposition to America, who's given our country over the Great Reset. They have created him into a political martyr. Now, I could just hear some of the people are going to say, well, the FBI did this because they really like Trump. Like, okay, that's called an unintended consequence. But it's true. They have strengthened Trump politically. He will be the nominee if he runs, period. Nothing like a martyr to create a strong political movement. I just want to encourage you. I know these last couple hours have been frustrating, but I also want this to be motivating. You do not raid a former president's home if you feel as if you're completely in control. This is an act of a paranoid, afraid, fearful, and frenetic ruling class. They are afraid that the people finally have a voice, and this was supposed to be a shock and awe campaign. And this is what they don't understand. We've been saying this for a year and a half. The conservative movement is anti-fragile. The harder they hit us, the stronger we get. It's not even a matter that we're durable and that we're tough. It's in a weird way, the more stress that they put on us, the more pressure they put on us, it only makes us want to fight more. Our resolve is deepening. Our ranks are widening. Our focus is narrowing because we now know it is the intelligence agencies, the deep state, the IRAs, the independent regulatory agencies. That Donald Trump and Mar-a-Lago stands between them and their Great Reset ambitions. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. America will no longer be the world's superpower. Western values go to a breaking point. But they are so worried. And this is why this one thing should be a shot of hope for you. You don't act like this if you feel as if your victory is inevitable. Let me say that again. If they felt that their victory was inevitable, why do you have to raid Trump's home? They're worried they might not win. You should be upset. You should be mad. You should be pissed. Excuse my language. Some people don't like when I say that on air. I'll reserve it for, I don't know, when a president's home gets raided. CNN is even starting to hedge, saying that this raid was probably not warranted if it was just a National Archives dispute. They're starting to do this because they're afraid of the equal and opposite political reaction. They're trying to bring down the temperature in the room. You see, if CNN went and actually defended this right now, it would only make us angrier. The fact that CNN and now MSNBC is hedging, they're trying to make it seem as if, oh, this was just a misunderstanding. Stop it. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for CNN's bait. Stay angry. Play cut 45.
If this becomes a Presidential Records Act violation, not more, do you think it is enough to warrant all of this?
No, it's not enough to warrant all this. And this is a daring and dangerous move by the Department of Justice to serve a warrant on a former president and to raid his personal residence.
Daring and dangerous. It's about as far as CNN will go. The reason they allowed him on television is they're trying to bring down the temperature because they said, I'm afraid we have awoken the sleeping giant. Trump will be more popular than ever before because of this. He will have more support than ever before. The movement is now more focused on the resolve. We don't care about who we're supposed to talk to and who we're not supposed to talk to. We're going to focus on truth and facts, and we're going to fight these people. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.